Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have just heard from the 14th chapter of Numbers. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, your wisdom sees and fathoms all life's tragedies. You know our grief, you hear our sighs. In mercy, dry our tear-stained eyes. From evil times, you bring great good. Beneath the cross, we've safely stood. Though dimly now life's path we trace, one day we shall see face to face. In the name of Jesus, amen. According to Professor Grimm, this hymn that we just sung and prayed was a hymn written for the first anniversary of 9/11. It no doubt reflects King Solomon's description of those things that are expected and unexpected events within our own life. No doubt 9/11 is an example of the unexpected and unwelcome event in our nation's history that hits home, closer for some than of others. I recall being at Concordia St. Paul as I just started recruiting for the seminary that year. And I was rushed into the room, but only to see a live broadcast of one of the planes hitting one of the Twin Towers, as the United States was now being attacked with missiles that contained human beings. I sat staring at the TVs, set as if watching a Hollywood movie, for such events have been foreign to the modern American experience, outside of the distant circumstance of Pearl Harbor of 1941. After my return from my recruitment trip, I recall hearing from Chaplain Guard, one of the first chaplains on the site at the Pentagon, tell a story about an FBI agent who ran out of the Pentagon with a baby's shoe and said, "Where was God?" Or in other words, if God existed, why would he have allowed this to happen? Before our text today, we hear the people of Israel grumbling against Moses and Aaron as they hear that God has led them out to the desert from what they see in order to die. It reads, "Would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." How would you explain to the people of Israel of why God has led them out to the desert to apparently to die in the desert? Or how would you respond to the FBI agent as he speaks of this idea of this unfortunate event that has taken place? Could you respond to the FBI agent and said, "Well, in fact, this was God's will. This was God's will that this had happened." The agent can turn and respond and say, "God's will? Then God in his own will is evil, mean, terrible, relenting." In other words, God's will does not appear to offer any sort of comfort at all. Perhaps this is why Luke does not record the Matthean part of the Lord's Prayer, skipping the words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Maybe God's will is something to be feared. Not knowing what God's will be for us today, for tomorrow, the next day, or the next day after that. Or perhaps we are thinking too much of our own selves, as if we are the ones who give meaning to God's will. If that is in fact by our own circumstances in our own life. This is the nature of sin, is it not, that we believe in some way that we are like God, authors of life, as if we are the ones who give meaning to life, to who God is, to his will, as if we determine of if life is good or evil by our own standards of understanding. Perhaps the will of God is not defined by the events of our own life, but by the one who fulfills the very will of God, namely that of Jesus. Perhaps one could pray the Lord's Prayer with Jesus in mind, "Thy will be done." That is the will of God, which is certain from day to day, because it is the will fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly under the law, that broke the bondage of the law by his own death and resurrection. So with Christ in mind, we pray, thy kingdom come, namely that of the kingdom that is in the person of Jesus. So we pray, thy will be done as it is fulfilled in Jesus. And we pray, give us this day our daily bread. The word daily, one word that has two meanings, the bread today and the bread to come, namely in the bread of life, namely that of Jesus. Perhaps we are too centered upon our own selves, boasting of our own life, of success and failures and unfortunate circumstances, and forgetting the greater life given to us in Jesus Christ. Perhaps this is why many of the psalmists do not have answers to their problems or their circumstances in life, because it isn't in their problem that they find meaning to life, but in the true God that gives life, as we hear, be still and know that I am God. Or in such verses in the New Testament of John, this is eternal life or life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I ask my catechumens, do you fear God more than you fear people? They honestly and unanimously answer every year when I was in the parish, we fear people more than God. We who by sin are more absorbed at times with ourselves and the judgment of others in this life than God and the greater judgment upon us in the forgiveness that has been won for us in Christ Jesus, that life that we have in Christ. A person comes to make confession to you in private confession, confesses a very private and grave sin that not only reflects a struggle in the person's life, but if it was made public, the person will have to bear the scrutiny of family, friends, fellow Christians, and society. The confessor hears and receives the word of forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, and leaves, knowing of the forgiveness from God, but yet nothing else has changed. The same possible struggles, the same possible rejection and condemnation from others, nothing has changed, or has it? The Christian life lives not a life which is defined by their own weakness and their own sin. No, not by the judgment of others, but by that greater life that is hidden within that of the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. The greater life of the forgiveness of sins that shapes the whole understanding of life as a whole as we go out into the world, living in Christ in the forgiveness of sins. Our Lord denotes the lack of the trust of the people, as we hear before our text today, how long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs that I have done among them? But the Christian spites this world and takes hold of the greater reputation in life only known in Christ, that no one can take it away. For as we hear in today's reading, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. Christianity is not where we should simply stare at our own selves, fabricating life by our own sinful efforts. But the Christian sees life from above, namely that life which is in the body of Jesus. Though we have stories of our own personal lives that has shaped what we are today, we possess a greater story of the life that is in the person of Jesus, our Lord. Here we know what tomorrow brings. Here we know the ending of the story. That is that life everlasting with God and all who are in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You rise.